Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara opens with a Dibur HaMaschil, a quote from the Mishnah, Al HaRishoyna Hu Oymer Mi She'ona Es Avraham V'chule. The Gemara will be interested in the Vechule, in the continuation of the Mishnah, where mention was made that the Brocha honoring Shmuel ends with the signature Brocha of Shomea Tze'oka, where a person would say, Brocha to Hashem, Shomea Tze'oka, and the Brocha that commemorates Elio Hanavi ends with the expression Shomea Tfila. Tze'oka means crying or shouting out to the Almighty, tefillah, prayer. Now on the side of the Gemara, under our nosei, our topic heading, we indicate machlokes tanoim, mahu siyum habrochos shel Eliyahu Ushmael. What is the proper signature brocha for the brochas that commemorate Elio and Shmuel? So we noted from our Mishnah that Shmuel is associated with the term Tze'oka, and Elio is associated with the term Tfilah. Tona, and we have a Tanaic source, Yesh Machlifin Tze'oka L'Eliyahu U'Tfilah L'Shmuel. There's another version that Machlif means switches around the term Tze'oka for Elio instead of Tfilah, and Tfilah for Shmuel instead of Tze'oka. Bishlamo Gabi Shmuel Ksiv Beit Fila Uksiv Beit Tzaka. When you look into the sources, the scriptures, so you will see that in the context of Shmuel, both terms are found. So the fact that you have two Tanaic sources doesn't present a problem. One direction would have you signing off Shmuel's bracha with Tfilah, and the other direction with Tzaka. Both legitimate, both have sources. Elo Gabi Eliyahu, Tfilah Ksiv, Tzaka Lo Ksiv. When you look into the psukim dealing with Eliyahu, so you see terms that are reminiscent or appropriate for the signature of Tfilah, like our Mishnah, but what it says in this Tanaic source in this Braisa, that Tze'oka is relevant to Eliyahu, that we don't find. The Gemara answers, well, we really do. Aneni Hashem Aneni Loshon Tze'oka Hi. This is from a pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Ches. Aneni Hashem Aneni is the story involving Eliyahu and the Nevi'ei HaBaal and the false prophets, where Eliyahu cries out with this expression, Aneni Hashem Aneni. This the Gemara associates with Tze'oka. So that for Elio, you have sources for both Tfilah and Tze'oka as well. Al Hashishis hu oimer misha ona es Yoino, Al Hashivis hu oimer misha ona es David. We're dealing with the additional brachas that are inserted into the Shmona Esrei on a fast day, on a Tainus Sibur. And what we want to emphasize here is chronology, history. We have Yonah is mentioned as the individual commemorated in the sixth bracha, and in the seventh bracha we commemorate David and Shlomo. So on the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, we have Hezber, Lomo Higdimu HaBracha Shel Yonah L'Shel David U'Shlomo. Why, in the order of brachas, is the bracha commemorating Yonah before the bracha of David and Shlomo? Lamros Sheheim Hoyu L'Fonav Nistoria. David and Shlomo were earlier than Yonah, so it would stand to reason that they should be earlier in the list of brachas. The Gemara. And the Gemara opens with that very question. Michti. Let's look into this. Yoina Bosar David Ushlomo Havi. Yoina chronologically was later than David and Shlomo. My taimo maktim le bereisha. Why in the order of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei is the Yoina bracha placed before the David and Shlomo bracha? The Gemara answers, Mishum deboi lemichtam merachim al haaretz. Because the compiler of the Tainus Shmoyne Esrei wanted the closing bracha. Lemichtam is the sign-off for the closing bracha of the additional brachas that are inserted to end off with the expression Merachim Alarz. Baruch Ata Hashem Merachim Alarz. Merachim means he who has mercy on the land. Now this expression of mercy on the land, the focus on the land of Israel, is characteristic of David and Shlomo. And therefore, in view of that, we compromised the issue of chronological order and had the sign-off bracha for that signs off all of the series of inserted additional brachas with that expression. He who has mercy on the land, and David and Shlomo prayed for the land of Israel. We continue in the Gemara. Tana, Mishum Sumchus Amru, in the name of Sumchus, it was taught that instead of Merachim Aloretz, the bracha of Baruch Mashpil Horamim, that the translation of that is, blessed be he who humbles the haughty or the lofty ones. And Rashi says, Baruch Mashmur HaRamim Hoyu Oinrim Bim Kulim Baruch Merachim. This would be said instead of the bracha of Merachim. Shechniyim B'motar Sheshavu B'tshuva. He caused the people to experience humility as a result of the drought. So that's Mashpil. He lowers the lofty ones. Shalosh Taniyos Horishonis Anshei Mishpor Misanin V'lo Mashlimin. On the side of the Gemara, we now say the topic heading reads Hagbolas Yayin La'anshei Mishmor Ubote Av Bizman Beis Hamikdash. We'll see the limitations of wine drinking that were instituted with regard to the Kohen service groups. The Kohanim were divided amongst Klal Yisrael into 24 different service groups. Each group, over the course of the year, on two occasions would serve a week in the Beis Medrash. And each one of those week service groups that's called a Mishmar is broken down into six daily sub-units. And those were the units that served on a given day in the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash was around, there was a prohibition of drinking wine, certainly for those that are actively involved in the sacrificial ceremony, because the Torah strictly prohibits someone who has drunk wine to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara will feature another point, Koyanim Ushtias Yayin Bizman Hazeh Machloikes Tanoim. What about rules regarding the Koyanim nowadays when there is no Beis HaMikdash? That we will discover to be a Machloikes Tanoim. The Gemara, Tanu Rabbana, Mipneima Omru, and you'll notice with the markings how we've broken down this source into different subsections. So the first question or that we deal with is Mipnei Ma Omru Anshei Mishmar Mutorim Lishtos Yayin Velelos Avolo Biyomim. Why is it that the week's service group are allowed to drink wine at night, but, and of course we're talking about over the course of the week that they're stationed in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not allowed to drink wine during the day? Answer, Shema Tichbaru Avoido Al Anshei Beis Av. The work load might become too much for any given day's service group, the Beis Av. V'yavo v'yisayu lohem. The other members of the Mishmar who aren't serving that day might be summoned to help them out, help the base Av out because of the extraordinary load. Therefore, we don't want them to be intoxicated with wine. Why is it that the Anshei Beis Av, that day service group, cannot drink wine, not by day and not by night? Why not by night? Answer: Mipnei Shehein Asukin Tomid Bavoida, because they're always involved with the sacrificial requirements. Mikan Omru, from this we say. And now Rashi says, Mikan Omru Midikotoni Hocha Dafilu Anshei Mishmor Sheloi Hoyu Oivdim Boiseyam Klal. We saw in this source that the Anshei Mishmor, who weren't necessarily working that day at all in the Beis HaMikdash, afilu hachi asurim lishos yayin, even so they cannot drink wine either. So, based on that, the following was said, and you'll see a series marking. Triangles are used to highlight the word Shemakir, a reference to the Kohen recognizing something, and the double underline will highlight the expression Mishmarto, Mishmeres Beis Avshelo, and we'll see some alternatives to that, but it highlights the reference to the Mishmeres, to the service group. So we continue. After having pointed out the Rashi on Mikan Omru, based on the source telling us that even the Anshei Mishmor who weren't serving that day in the Beis HaMikdash at all, they still had restrictions. Mikan Omru, Kol Kohen, the Kohen nowadays, well, there is no Beis HaMikdash, parallel to the Anshei Mishmor, who aren't working that day in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you have a Kohen, Shemakir Mishmarto Umishmeres Beis Avshelo, he knows the service group, the week's service group that his family was part of, and he even knows the day on which his ancestors served, Viodea Shebote Avoisafum Shom, and he knows that his forebears were established to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's interesting to note that there were some Kohanim, many Kohanim, that didn't have an assignment to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you know that you're a Kohen that was part of a family that served in the Beis HaMikdash, Osur Lishtos Yayin Kol Soyom, so you, many hundreds of years later, can nevertheless not drink wine that day that the family that your family or your Beis Av would have served. Again, this quasi restriction, meaning that day, is also as if you know all of this background information. However, b'makir mishmarto v'ein makir mishmeres beis av. So let's say he knows the service group that he comes from, that he descends from, but he doesn't know the specific beis av. That's the subdivision of the mishmora. He doesn't know which beis av he is from. And he knows that his ancestors were serving in the Beis HaMikdash. They were fixed there. They were established there. Also, Shabbos. The word Shabbos means week. It's also for that Kohen who knows that he which Mishmeres he comes from, and that they did serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So this Kohen, who is a descendant from them, cannot. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ve'ein makir mishmeres beis avshelo v'yodea shibotei avoisav kvuim sham. So we say it's also for him to drink wine. Also, lishos yayin kol so Shabbos. He cannot drink wine there all week. The word Shabbos means a whole week. And once again, that's because he knows that the service group that would be in the Beis HaMikdash, he was a part of that. However, eino makir mishmarto mishmeres beis avshelo. He doesn't know his service group, and he certainly doesn't know his Beis Av, v'yodea shebotei avoisav kvuim sham, and he knows that his forebears were established and fixed in the Beis HaMikdash, that they were a part of the officials that served there. Also, lishtos yayin kol hashana, he cannot drink wine all year. Rebbe Oimer, Oimer ani also lishtos yayin olam. If you ask me, on one level of understanding, I would say it's forbidden for them to drink wine forever. Avomai said, what can I do? Shitakonosoi kilkulosoi. The term takonoso is his salvation, the Kohen's salvation with regard to being able to drink wine, is a function of the kalkola, the ruination, the unfortunate circumstances of the Beis HaMikdash lying in ruins. So as long as the Beis HaMikdash is lying in ruins, the Rebbe will tell you a Kohen is allowed to drink wine. Omar Abaye, Keman Shosu Ha'idna Kahani Chamra, based on whom do Kohanim drink wine nowadays? Answer, Kerebi, that would conform to Rebbe. Anshe Mishmor v'anshe Maimud Asurim l'saper l'chabes uv'chamishi mutorim et nekvot ha'shabos. This we saw in the Mishnah. And on the side, the topic heading is Tispores, the haircut, the chol kamazman, and what is the frequency of the haircut for Kohanim and for Melochim, for kings. So the Mishnah had taught that the service group of Kohanim and the representatives of Klal Yisrael that were there in the Beis HaMikdash could not, during the week that they are in the Beis HaMikdash, they could not take haircuts nor wash their clothes. On Thursday of that week, they were allowed to in honor of Shabbos. The Gemara asks, my time, why was there this restriction of not taking a haircut during the week that they're in the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Rabba Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Kedei Shelo Yikonsu L'Mishmartom Kishein Menuvolim, so that they shouldn't enter their week of service in an unkempt, unclean fashion. They should enter the Beis HaMikdash, start their service in an honorable fashion already. caring for themselves and their appearance beforehand. Tonu Rabbona, Melech Mistapir B'chol Yoim, a king has his hair cut or hair tended to. Mistapir literally means haircut every day. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos, a Kohen Gadol every Friday. Kohen Hedyot Achas L'Shloshim Yom, a standard Kohen once every 30 days. In other words, a Kohen Hedyot is not to go 30 days without a haircut. And certainly in the context of entering the Beis HaMikdash, he would be expected to have his have no more than 30 days of hair growth on his head. Melech mistapir b'chol yom, the Gemara goes over these three examples. A king takes his haircut every day, my taimo, what is the basis of that? Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Melech b'yofyoy tsechezeno einecha, the king is to be held in beauty, in handsomeness, so that he has to always maintain a cared for state. Kohen Gadol, Mayor of Shabbos, Ler of Shabbos, the Kohen Gadol every Friday, my time, what's the significance of that? Marav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Hayu Umishmoros Mischachos. The Kohen Gadol was there on an ongoing basis in the Beis HaMikdash, but the service groups of the Kohanim coming from the different parts of the land, we'll call it the changing of the guard, took place every Friday. The new service group would come, and the previous week would exit. That actually the actual changeover was on Shabbos itself, but in order to greet the new service group that arrived on Friday, the Kohen Gadol had to look his best. Kohen Hedyot Achas L'Shloshim Yom Inolan, what's the basis of a Kohen Hedyot once every 30 days? Asya Pera Pera Minozir, through a word comparison we come to this conclusion. Ksiv Hocho, it says in the context of Kohanim, V'roisham Lo Yigalechu Ufera Lo Yishalechu. That's a posuk in the context of Kohanim. And Uksiv Hosam, it says, by a nozir. A nozir is someone who had taken upon himself a vow to restrict himself from wine, and along with those restrictions as a prohibition in cutting one's hair and defiling to the dead. It says, Kodesh yeh gadel pera seor roshoi. That's the pasuk by the nozir. Ma lahalan shloshim, just like by the nozir, the haircut is at the end of 30 days. Af kan shloshim, so too with regard to the kohen, where you see also the word pera, 30 days. The nozir gufei menolam, the nozir himself, how do you know that that is measured in terms of 30 days? Omer Rav Matana, stam nazirus shloshim yoim. Rav Matana tells us that a Nazirite state or Nazirite vow, unless other an unqualified Nazirite vow, is a 30-day period of time. Now, that point, Minolan, where do we know that from? Where do we know that? A Stam Nazirus is 30 days. Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, Yiyet. In fact, we saw this two lines above. Kodosh Yiyet, Gadel Perase Arosho, the word Yiyet, Begematria, that's the numeral equivalent of the letters, equals Talsin Havi is 30. Talsin is 30, and if you add up the Yud, which is equal to a 10, and Hey 5, so you have, you can see in the word Yeah, you get to a total of 30. So it's just like the Nozir time period is 30 days, the Kohen Gadol haircut is once every 30 days. Omer le Rav Papa Labaye. Rav Papa asks, V'dilma hochi koma rachmona, maybe the posuk by the Kohanim is really saying lo lirbu klal, that they are not to have any, they should not allow any hair growth. In other words, is every day, let us say, Tosfos says, pirush vafilu ad shloshim yom, even less than 30 days. So, according to Tosfos, maybe it should be less than, as we said, 29 every 29 days. Maybe that's the point. Omar le, so Abaye responds. If by careful reading of the pasuk, you can see that that's not the case. I have kosav lo yishalchu pera. If the pasuk would have been worded that way, that they should not allow pera to grow, so then kide ko amris, I would agree that the kohen is obligated to cut his hair less in intervals of less than 30 days. Hashta dekos deksiv ufera lo yishalechu. Now that it says, in fact, this is what it really says, so it tells us para leheve, that it can reach the stage of para, that's 30 days. Shluchihu delo lishalchu, but it shouldn't grow more than 30 days. So just like the nozir has hair growth of 30 days, after the 30 days he cuts his hair, likewise with the kohanim. Ihochi afilu ho'id nonami. Now Rashi explains, Ihochi, since we're learning from a posuk that the kohen shall take his haircut once every 30 days, so it should apply nowadays as well, that a kohen should have to take haircut every 30 days. The Gemara says, well, dumya d'shtuya yayin, we're going to treat the hair the same way we treat the issue of kohanim bizman hazeh and the drinking of wine. Ma shtuya yayin bizman bi ohud osir shelo bizman bi oshori. Just like with regard to the laws of wine, we say that when bizman bi means the time of entering the Beis HaMikdash, which is unfortunately not the case today. There's no Beis HaMikdash, so today is called Shelo Bizman Bio. It's not the time of entrance to Beis HaMikdash. So Af Hochonami, so too with regard to haircut rules, we say that when the Beis HaMikdash is around, so the Kohen is bound to take his haircut once every 30 days. And however, nowadays where there's no Beis HaMikdash, just like the wine, there is no wine restriction for kohanim, so too no haircut rules that apply. The Gemara asks, the Ha Tanya, but do we not have the following source? And now note that this question goes till the top of Omid Beis. We call this a long question. So the Gemara is going to ask, how can you conclude that nowadays it's all right? V'hotanya, Rebbe Oimer. Oimer ani koyhanim asrim lishtos yayin le'olam. Rebbe says that, we saw this in the upper part of the wide lines of the Gemara, that koyhanim should be prohibited in drinking wine forever. In other words, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there should be a wine prohibition. Avol ma'aseh shetakanoso kilkolosoi. But as he explained earlier, what can I do when the salvation of the kohanim and drinking wine, in other words, their solution in enabling them to drink wine lies in the very fact that the Beis HaMikdash has not been built for so many years, so we're not going to take the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash into consideration to thereby serve as a restriction of the Kehanim nowadays. As Rashi says, L'shema yibone lo yichayshina. We're not, we of course hopeful for its being rebuilt, but we're not taking that possibility into consideration with regard to restricting the Kehanim and their drinking of wine. And that's simply because so much time has gone by and the Beis HaMikdash still hasn't been rebuilt. Well, anyway, that is Rebbe's point of view. The Omer Abaye, Keman Shosu Idno Kani Chamer, based on whom do Kohanim, in fact, drink wine nowadays? So we said this before, that's Kerebi. The Kohanim drink wine only because of the opinion of Rebbe, Michlau de Rabbonon Asri. But that would leave us to infer that the Rabbonon would prohibit the drinking of wine nowadays, even without a Beis HaMikdash, and along with that would be the rules of haircut. Just like the wine rules are binding even nowadays, so the haircut rules are binding nowadays. So that how can the Gemara say just before this question that, well, it's true there's a pasuk that talks about the kohen need for taking a haircut, but at the end of the day, we compare the wine and the hair to one another. And just like we claimed that the wine is something that's binding only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so to the hair. But to that we are asking, what do you mean that the wine is only in the zman of the Beis HaMikdash? That might be Rebbe's opinion, but the Rabbonin don't agree with that. So now, as we go ahead in the Gemara, we take note of the fact we have a topic heading on the side. We're calling it Hemshech, means a continuation of what we're involved with. Loma lefi harabonon bizman hazeh. Why is it that according to the Rabbonin nowadays, mitzad echad makpidim shekehanim lo yishtu yayin, they are of the opinion kehanim should not drink wine nowadays? Rebbe held otherwise, but the Rabbonin say they should not. Avol lo makpidim sheyistapru kol shloshimim, but the very Rabbonin are not demanding of the Kohanim with regard to taking a haircut every 30 days. So why the split or the double standard? One standard for rules of wine, restrictive, and when it comes to haircut, not so. Now you'll notice a geometric form, a volcano shape, or a trapezoid, if you will, is under the Mivneh heading, Tshuvos LaSheela Hanal. These represent answers to that question. So take note of the fact that we have two of those along the way. So the Gemara answers. Now, you notice the reading is a little tricky because the answer begins with a question term, but it's not. It's an answer. My taima. Why is it that the Rabbonon aser, though they prohibit the kohanim in drinking wine nowadays? Well, mehero yibone beis hamikdash ubainon kohen haroy lavoda veleka. We are anticipatory of the kohen of the beis hamikdash being rebuilt quickly in our times, and you'll need kohanim to serve in the beis hamikdash. And if they're inebriated, then they won't be fit for service. That's why we don't want the kohanim nowadays drinking wine. because, once again, just to repeat, we want them to be readily available for service in the Beis Hamikdash. Hacha, however, with regard to the haircut, efshir de mesapir v'ayel, if the Beis Hamikdash, in fact, is rebuilt in a moment, so the kohen will just take a quick haircut and go into service. The lack of the lack of demand of kohanim and haircut responsibilities nowadays will not thwart his availability upon the reconstruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, we can it's not really a double standard. It's all the same standard, the same goal. Availability of kohanim. Wine would interfere with that, with that availability. The lack of haircut doesn't interfere with that. In that availability. Now, with the miracle of markings, we have a brackets, and if you skip the brackets, you'll see a second approach. Rav Ashi explains why the Rabbanan would treat wine differently from haircuts. And if we just read that momentarily, we're skipping the brackets. Use your bracket length indicator to see where we're picking up. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar, Shtuye Yayin de Machli Avoido, Gozru Behu Rabbonan. When it comes to the issue of someone who has consumed his drunk wine, so working in the state of being called a Shosu Yayin, inebriated, intoxicated, having drunk wine, a revius of wine, that's a quantity of wine that would render him not only unfit, but if he serves in the Beis Hamikdash, he's mechalel, he profanes the service. So because of that serious nature of a shosu yayin, a person with drunk wine and then serving profanes the service, so they restricted kohanim nowadays from drinking wine. However, prue rosh, the uncut hair, the lo machli avoda, a kohen who, let us say, would serve in that state. In other words, non-cut hair and serve and do sacrificial activity. He would not profane, would not be a ruination of that which he is doing. He might be guilty of a sin, but it doesn't ruin the service. Lo gazur behu rabbanan. The rabbanan did not impose a restriction nowadays regarding the hair. Now let's go over the Gemara. Again, we have the bracketed section on the side. There's a note, the starred note, Hasograyim, the brackets, Marim, they show the Ad Kan Ikur HaTshuva, that up till that point we had answer number one. That was the end of answer number one. Besoichem, within the brackets, HaGemara Dona B'She'ela, the Gemara deals with a question. Lama Loi Oimrim Sheliyayin Nami Yesh Pitaron. Just like by the haircut, you said he can, if the Beis Hamikdash is built instantly, so the kohanim can quickly take a haircut and go in. Therefore, there's no need to apply a haircut rule nowadays. Why not say the same thing by one, that there is a solution? Efshe lahatir shtiyosa, we can allow drinking of wine, v'im nitzdarach l'kayin, and if we need kohanim at a more or less moment's notice, hu yelech lishon mat, he'll go to sleep a little bit, and that'll shake off the wine effects. So why not say that and allow drinking of wine nowadays too? That's in the brackets. So now let's continue in the brackets. Ihachi, if so, that the haircut has a rapid, instant solution, shtuye yayin nami, with regard to the drinking of wine also, a kain who has drunk wine as well, efshe de gonis, to sleep, porta a little bit, sleep a little bit, v'ayol, and then enter the Beis Hamikdash after a brief nap, a brief sleep, a brief slumber, kida rami bar abo, based on his teaching, the Omar rami bar abo, derech meal, v'shina kolshehu, a walk, A derech meal is a walk of a meal, a kilometer's distance of walking, and a little nap, mefigin es hayayin, reduces the effects of the wine. So, with a little effort, so a little investment of time, very short investment of time, the wine problem can be dealt with, solved as well. Why then do we have to have an ongoing wine restriction nowadays regarding the kohanim when there's such an easy, quick solution? The Gemara answers, Lav miyit mar lo, wasn't it said concerning the wine? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, lo shanu, that this teaching of the sleep helping is qualified, it's limited. Lo shanu ela, it is taught only kishishasa shiur revius, where the wine drunk by the kohen did not exceed a revius. It's just a couple of ounces. Aval shasa yosem revius, if he drank more than that, kol shekein shederech matridasa v'shina mishakroso. Under such circumstances, the walking and the nap will only exacerbate the effects of the wine. So therefore, the idea of a quick solution for the wine isn't really so. At best, it would be if he drank a very small amount of wine, but we can't regulate that, and therefore we have to take into consideration all circumstances, and therefore more than a revius included does not present itself as having a quick solution. Rav Ashi Omar, Shtuya Yayin de Machli Avoda Gozer Rabbanan. Rav Ashi explains the difference between the wine and the haircuts. Shtuya Yayin, a kohen who drank wine and serves in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a serious problem. It profanes the work that he does in the Beis HaMikdash. Pruei Rosh, uncut hair on the part of a kohen, de lo Machli Avoda, even if he serves in that state, he doesn't profane the service, the offering of the sacrifice. Lo gozru b'hu rabbana, they therefore did not feel a need to impose a rabbinic restriction of insisting on haircuts every 30 days nowadays as well. Meisvei, we raise a question. This is a long question, and at the end of this long question we're not going to have an answer. And that's according to our Gemara text. There are alternative texts, but that's the text that we're going to be using. The question is challenging what we just said. We just said that there's a different stand, that wine is mechala lavoda, and pruei rosh is not mechala lavoda. So we're going to question that. Meisvei, v'elu shehein b'misa. The following are guilty of death at the hands of heaven. Shtuya yayin upurei rosh, a kohen who serves after having drunk wine, or a kohen who serves without his hair having been cut. Bishlama shtuya yayin behed yaksibu. Granted, shtuya yayin, there it says explicitly, yayin v'shechar al tesht, it says, and the continuation of this pasuk is you'll see on the side of the Gemara, Al tesht ato uvonecha v'lo samusu. Avoid the drinking of wine, an address to the kohanim, and thereby avoid death. Ela pruei rosh minolan. Where do we see death for someone who serves without the haircut? Dichtiv v'roisham lo yigalechu ufera lo yishalechu. So the pasuk in Yecheskel talks about the. We saw this quoted earlier, the insistence on kohanim taking a haircut every 30 days. Uksiv basrei, and following that it says, v'yayin lo yishtu kol kohen b'voyam ela chotzer apnimis. Wine shall not be drunk upon their entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. V'iskish pruei rosh l'shtuya yayin. The Torah is comparing the issue of the haircut to the issue of wine drinking. Ma shtuya yayin b'misa, af pruei rosh b'misa. Point one is just like a kohen who serves after having drunk wine is guilty of death at the hands of heaven, so too a kohen who serves without having taken the haircut. Umino, and from that we go to the next stage. Ima, umino, ima kohen, ima shtuya demachli avoda, af pruei rosh, demachli avoda. if we continue our comparison, the result is just like shtuye yayin profanes the service, so too the uncut hair, the kohen with uncut hair also profanes the service. So how can you have said before, how can Rav Ashi have said that there, that is a point of difference, and we see here the Torah compares the two. Kashya. So following the girsa of the Marsha, it's left as a difficulty. The Gemara asks a question. Omerle Ravina l'Ravashi. Ha, this point of Prue Rosh being compared to the Shtuye Yayin. Now, we saw this comparison in a Pasuk in Yecheskel. Now, that point that they're compared before Yecheskel, Mekamid Osi Yecheskel, Man Obra, Yecheskel was a prophet who lived at the end of the first temple period. What about all the years since the since Avodah started in the Midbar? We have a Mishkan, Kohanim serving in the Mishkan, and in the all the years of the first Beis Hamikdash. Where do you learn? Where would you know that from? Omar Lay. So he answers. Now you'll know this is a long answer. Omar Lay. So Rav Ashi says back. He says to Ravina, according to you that are bothered by the fact that the source appears to be in Yecheskel, and you're asking, what about before that? Ha di Amar Rav Chisda, that which Rav Chisda says, Dover ze mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu, mitoras Moshe lo lamadnu, midivrei Kabbalah lamadnu. The following we don't see in the Torah, but we see it in the prophetic works. What do we see? Kol ben nechor orel leva orel boser lo yavo el mikdoshi. All those that are of uncircumcised heart or uncircumcised flesh, an uncircumcised kohen, if he has not had a bris milah, let us say two of his brothers died as a result of having a circumcision done as infants, so he, the third child, will not be circumcised, and as such, though, he is not to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Where is this pasuk from? It's from Yecheskel. Well, ha, this information that an orel is also about avoda mekamidos Yecheskel man omra. Before Yecheskel came, who said that? Are you going to think for one second that that's a halacha that became that became in force only at the time of Yecheskel? Of course not. That's from the very beginning of time. Ella. Gemara Gomir Law V'Asa Yecheskel V'Asmicha Akra. The halacha regarding the uncircumcised and their disqualification of from serving in the Beis Hamikdash is something that was Gemara Gomir Law, an oral tradition. And when Yecheskel, the prophet, came along, so he wrote a pasuk that serves as a a reminder, an asmachta or an asmicha akra. It's a halacha now that we can assign to a pasuk, but it was an oral tradition up till that point. Ha'cha nami, so too with regard to the haircut being compared to wine, Gemara Gomir Law, it was an oral tradition. The also Yecheskel v'asmicha akra. Yecheskel came along and gave, he authored a pasuk upon which we can rely. We start now a new section, and this is a Gemara that is going to be actually quite a long discussion. It's going to continue till Yud Ches Omid Beis, practically till the end of the Perek. The topic heading we have on the side, we call this a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading, and we're simply using an introductory line, Kol HaKosuv V'Megillas Tainis, etc., that which is recorded in Megillas Tainis, and we discussed this when we learned the Mishnah. It's a work, it's a list of festive days as a result of miraculous events that took place over the years, and the Rabbanan recorded these days, and these days are, as a result of their festive nature, one is not to engage in fasting, and some of the days are even restricted in eulogizing. So if the Mishnah said, "Kol akosim gilas tainis, delo lemispad," these are days that are on a high level of joyousness, so that you can't even eulogize on those very days. Lefon of osir laachrov mutter. However, the day before is also forbidden, but the day after is allowed. Now the Mishnah continues, and it's not printed here, but on the side we continued the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer lifonov uli achrov osir. Rabbi Yossi assigns more joy to the day than the Tanakama, and as a result, it's osir even after the day as well to eulogize. Then there's another category of day, and there's delo lisano. Those are days that one is not to fast. That those are festive days that one is restricted from fasting on those days. So again, you have a machlokis. The Tanakama says lefonov ulaachrov muter, the day before and the day after one it is allowed to fast. And Rabbi Yossi is consistent here, consistent with his assigning a higher level of joy than the Tanakama does, and he says Rabbi Yossi Amar lefonov osir laachrov muter, the day before is forbidden in fasting, but the day after is allowed. We've provided a chart on the side, which hopefully will be of use as we go on in the Gemara. We have across the top, you have the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, and down the side, you have the different types of restrictions. You have the Hesped restriction with the day before and the day after, and the fasting restriction regarding the day before and the day after, and what each one holds. Tonu Rabbonon. Eilin Yomayo Dololis Anoa Bahoin, Umiksosin Dololi Mispad Bahon. These are the days, and what the Gemara does is opens up with a quote from Megillas Tainis, and we're going to feature in our sugya here two dates. There were many more dates, but two holidays are featured. So the following are holidays that one is not to fast on them. Umiksason, and some of them are delo lemispad b'om. Some are also forbidden in eulogizing. So that here we have two holidays. Number one, Meresh Yarcha to Nisan Atam Nebei, from the first of Nisan until the eighth of Nisan is a, we'll call it an 8-day holiday. And during those 8 days, we celebrate them as joyous days because Itukum Tamida, the rule establishing that a private person cannot donate on a personal korban tumid, that rule was established. The rabbis had fought with the heretics on that point, and they said that a private person is allowed to dedicate a korban tumid. This is a public daily sacrifice, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and the rabbis disagreed vehemently with them on that point. And once the rabbis got the upper hand in that argument, a holiday was declared. And the nature of that holiday is the lo lemispad b'hon. Those are days that eulogizing is forbidden. We should say even eulogizing. And likewise, another holiday where even eulogizing is forbidden. Number two, mitam nebei v'ad soif me'ado, from the eighth of Nisan. Notice there seems to be an overlap. The number one was from the first of Nisan till the eighth, inclusive, and the second holiday is from the 8th of Nisan ad sof moad, until the end of Pesach. Moad is the holiday of Pesach. Itoisev chaga de shvuaya, the lo lemispad b'hom. It was declared, it was established that the holiday of Shavuos is to be counted. When we count toward the holiday of Shavuos, we count on the day following the first day of Pesach, contrary to the way the Tzedukim, the heretics, approached it. They said that you start counting on the day after Shabbos, the Sabbath day of Pesach. But the oral tradition of the rabbis, the Rabbonon, hold it's the day you start the 50-day counting from the day after the first day of Pesach. In other words, from the second day of Pesach. That's called Mochos HaShabbos. As we go through the Gemara, you'll see the following markings. You see diamonds are used, and they highlight the expression Omar Mar. On the side, we have a Mivneh heading where the Omar Mar is featured. Tzitutim Mehamokr. These are quotes from the source. Mehamokr Mimegilas Tainis. Triangles will be used in varying, in alternating directions. They represent a Ma'akav, with the point facing up, she'elos, and the inverted triangle are tshuvos, are responses. So Omar Mar, we quote from the source, Meresh Yarcha de Nisan Atam Nebei Toikim Temida de Lola Mispad. From the 1st of Nisan until the 8th of Nisan, a holiday was established because of the rabbi's ruling being accepted regarding the Tomid sacrifice. Question, Loma Li Meresh Yarcha, why do we have to count the holiday from Rosh Chodesh? Now, before we go on, we should note that on the side we have a topic heading. The Gemara will be asking, HaGemara Sho'elis, Loma B'Megillas Tainis, Shi Rishima She'yomim She'asurim B'Hesma D'Tainis, Mitzaynim HaTarif She'litoykim Temida. Why do we denote the dates of the holiday of Itoikim Temida, the establishment of the Talmud, May Rosh Chodesh Ad Tamni. Rosh Chodesh Atzmo Yom Tov Hu, She'osur Bohem Behesped Utainis. Rosh Chodesh itself is classified as a holiday, and as such it's prohibited in eulogizing and fasting. So Rosh Chodesh is already a holiday. Why, if we're talking about days that are festive with and no eulogizing and fasting, this rabbinic holiday should be from the 2nd of Nisan. The 1st of Nisan is already Rosh Chodesh. So why is it necessary for them to note it, this rabbinic holiday, from Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara asks, let's read this with the triangle. Loma li meresh yarcha. Why does it have to spell out that the holiday is from Rosh Chodesh? Lemo mitrei b'nisan. Let them say that the holiday is from the 2nd of Nisan. For Rosh Chodesh gufa yom tov hu v'asur. Rosh Chodesh itself is a separate holiday, and that is also usur in fasting and eulogizing. Answer, Omar Rav, Lo Nitzrucha Elolesor Yoim Shelefonov. By noting that the Tomid holiday is from the 1st of the month, from Rosh Chodesh, that will then take in the day before also. The 29th of Adar, the last day of the previous month, is also taken in, and we discussed this just before, and we have this on our chart, that with regard to these festive days, the days before are also restricted in we'll call it sad activities. Question, v'shelefon of Nami. So, if your whole interest is in taking in the day before, also including the day before, typically the havile yom shelifnei Rosh Chodesh, you could still have the rabbinic holiday commemorated from the 2nd of the month, leave Rosh Chodesh as a holiday, which it is, and being that it's a holiday, it takes in the day before. The Gemara answers, Rosh Chodesh, by leaving Rosh Chodesh as the holiday and not calling it not also referring to it as a rabbinic holiday, Rosh Chodesh itself, do'oraisahu, it's a Torah-based holiday. Udoraisa loboi chizuk. Something that is of a Torah nature, it doesn't require any further strengthening. We strengthen days by saying not only is the day itself to be observed as festive, but even the day before. But since it's a Torah-based holiday, it doesn't need any further strengthening. It stands on its own. Disanya, hayomim ha'eila haksuvim b'megillas tainis. The Bryce says that the days recorded in this work called Megillas Tainis, Lifneim Lachreim Asurim, the days before and the day after, also have these eulogizing and fasting restrictions. Shabbosus V'yomim Tovim, when it comes to Shabbos and Torah holidays, like Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos, Hein Asurim, the days themselves are forbidden in eulogizing and fasting. Lifneim Lachreim Mutorin, the days before or the day after are allowed. What's the difference between the days recorded in Megillas Tainis versus Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim? Halolu divrei Torah, Shabbos and Yom Tov, like Pesach, Sukkot and Shavuos, those are Torah holidays. The divrei Torah ain tzrichin chizuk. They don't need further strengthening, namely that days before and the day before and the day after also have these restrictions. Halolu divrei sofrim, but the dates recorded in Megillas Tainus are rabbinic. The divrei sofrim tzrichim chizuk, something that's of a mere rabbinic nature or origin. We want to strengthen it, give it importance, and we thereby say that the day before and the day after also have these fasting restrictions, thereby giving more importance and strength to the rabbinic holiday. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com, and you might want to contact us with regard to accessing marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.